It's 12:37. A dangerously hot and humid air mass has set up across much of the Midwest. Afternoon heat index values may peak at around 110 degrees. Meanwhile, a cold front over Iowa and Missouri will sag southeast and produce strong to severe thunderstorms over portions of the region, including the WILL severe weather coverage area. Northern Illinois saw some severe weather earlier today. Locally heavy rain along with strong wind gusts are possible with any storms that develop. Warm and muggy air will continue overnight and into tomorrow, along with a chance of thunderstorms as the front lingers across the region. High temperatures today will range from the upper 80s in northern Iowa to around 100 degrees in central Missouri. Lows tonight will range from the 60s in Wisconsin to the 70s in Missouri and in Illinois. The forecast for East Central Illinois, a heat advisory is in effect until 7 p.m. this evening. This afternoon, partly sunny, hot and humid with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high in the mid-90s with heat index readings from 106 to 112. The wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Quite warm with the low in the low, with a low in the mid-70s. This evening, heat indices will range from 102 to 107 degrees. The wind will be light and from the north. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high in the upper 80s and a light north wind. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low of 68. The wind, light, and out of the northeast. Wednesday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cooler, the high around 80. Wednesday night through Thursday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-60s and highs in the low 80s. At noon Central Time, across Illinois and Indiana, northern areas were cloudy. Radar indicating rain was falling over a portion of the Chicago area. Lows, temperatures ranged from the low 70s to the mid-90s. At O'Hare, 75 degrees at the top of the hour. Peoria reported 88 degrees. 92 at Mattoon and Carbondale, 94. 72 at South Bend. Lafayette, 86. Indianapolis and Terre Haute reported 93 degrees. At noon, Willard Airport reported 89 degrees. The dew point, 77, giving us a heat index of 101. The relative humidity, 67%, the wind variable at 7, and the barometric pressure, 29.91 and steady. And at 12:40 Central Time, 92 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Over the last year, we visited a third-grade class at Booker T. Washington Elementary School in Champaign. Just about all of these students are native Spanish speakers, and they are learning English as a second language through self-expression. Shortly before they left for the summer, Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers checked out their class final project.
I first met this class at the end of last year as they played their audio-recorded essays, molded off the public radio series StoryCorps. You'll notice off the bat that these kids don't follow a typical grade school curriculum. One student named Eduardo presents an essay from last winter about his pet dog. Eduardo's voice was pre-recorded and mixed with special sound effects and music.
Then my dog bought me a dog. But he escaped, and my dad went to get him, and he was lost.
And here's that same student, 5 months later, reciting an original poem, live in front of his class, about the importance of family.
Me and my family always, always get busy. Sometimes we get busy, always, always, always. We always get to do something, but not together, because we don't have time. But someday we will get a chance.
You can tell Eduardo's diction has improved. He also sounds a little more comfortable. In many of the poems, family is a trending topic. Here's a poem by another one of the students named Guillermo.
Mama is wonderful. She loves Papa. She buys us everything sometimes. Mama and Papa love. The end.
I like the way he connected his mom and his dad.
The class looks on intently as their teacher, Olga Halpern, dissects the poem's structure.
This is what I call ownership, creativity, and just getting out of the
box.
My mom has long hair. I do too. Yeah.
Some of the poems are taken to a whole new level, like this one by Adamaris. It's also about family. The student makes a point of not missing a beat and, when it's appropriate, jumping high in the air with a big cheeky grin on her face.
Me and my aunt. My aunt has glasses. My aunt likes roller coasters. I do too. Yeah.
The final student performs his poem in a less conventional way. Angel plays a recording of himself talking about his classmates. Like the StoryCorps project earlier in the school year, Angel mixes in sound effects and music cues.
I have intelligent friends. Guillermo, Bridget, Eduardo. He is the fastest runner in our classroom. And he's also short. Quack, quack, quack.
We have like 5 more minutes, so the thing that you didn't get to see when you actually heard them is you didn't get to see all the poetic strategies that they use.
That's Haney Yoon with the University of Illinois Center for Education in Small Urban Communities. She's the one who came up with the idea for this project. Each student also wrote and designed a poetry book with drawings and photos. They constructed dozens of poems over the course of 5 weeks, but only a few made it into the book. Yoon says she wanted to give these students a lot of flexibility to be creative without hindering their ability to learn English. After the poetry reading, Yoon quizzes the class on different literary devices.
Like some of them use repeating words. Can someone else give me another example? Like repeating words, repeating lines, Giselle?
Breaking.
Yeah, line breaks. What else happened in your poems?
Phil Wilder works with Yoon. He says understanding the structure of a poem, rather than just the words on a page, can go a long way in teaching literacy.
I went over and was talking to a student who explained why he printed out every word in a poem, but when he used the word cursive, he wrote it in cursive. It's a small thing, but it's a nuance that you can see how kids are playing around with language. And for bilingual students especially, their ability to kind of play with language is a key to code switching, is a key to using multiple languages.
And for the students in this class, a key to success throughout the year was bringing meaning to written and spoken words so that self-expression doesn't get lost in translation. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
It's 12:45. Brazil's growing ethanol industry is one reason for the country's rapid growth. A booming economy and innovative social programs have lifted tens of millions of people out of poverty in Brazil, but many are left behind. Now the country's new president is on a crusade to eliminate extreme poverty. She's focusing on a traditionally poor region of the country's northeast. NPR's Juan Ferreiro reports.
This metropolis of 4 million with miles of white sand beaches is filled with high-rises, new car dealerships, and shopping malls. It represents the modern, dynamic Brazil, and it's hard at first to see how anything's wrong. Amauri Crispim is among the new workers at a construction site. There were few jobs, Crispim says, and he struggled to make a living cutting sugarcane. Now he works at the vast and growing Suape Port and Industrial Complex, among the projects that helped give this state a 9.3% economic growth last year. Here, there's a shipyard, and companies like Fiat are building factories. An oil refinery and petrochemical plant are also going up. Frederico da Costa Mancio, the chief executive, says there are 55,000 workers.
We have new jobs, and these companies are attracting other companies. And that's why our economic results are much, much better than other parts of Brazil.
Yet, you don't have to go far to find people who've missed the boom, like Netildes Dalvina Soares. Her neighborhood, on the edge of a highway just a couple of miles from Suape, is little more than a collection of wood plank shacks. There's no water, no electricity. She's forced to hike up a barren hillside to get to her home. She's barefoot, wears old black leggings and a t-shirt, and she says there's little relief under a relentless sun.
A gente sofre muito. Sofre muito porque
we suffer a lot, she says, and sometimes go without water for 3 or 4 days. This is the grindingly poor Brazil, the 16 million people in abject poverty. President Dilma Rousseff has made the end of indigence, what Brazilians call extreme poverty, a centerpiece of her domestic agenda. Brazil will only be truly wealthy, Rousseff told listeners on her weekly radio broadcast, when all Brazilians have a better quality of life. Under Rousseff's predecessor, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, more than 30 million Brazilians were lifted into the middle class, and Brazil grew to become the world's 7th largest economy. But improving the lives of the indigent will be harder. They earn less than $45 a month, and many are illiterate. As part of Rousseff's new anti-poverty initiative, the government is expanding education, health, and other services and directing development projects toward poor regions. Experts like Hildo Sauer, a former official in the Lula administration, says the government needs to go further, instituting vast, complex structural changes.
First is education, then is public health services. Then you need to improve infrastructure. You need to work, I still believe, on land reform, and nothing of it is being done now.
In the shanty town near the Suape complex, Mara Maria da Silva says this is one of the places where the government has to start from scratch.
Muito, viu, aqui em Pernambuco, é cheia.
Here, she says, we're full of poverty, and there's a need for everything from paved roads to housing for homeless children. It's so bad, Silva says, that sometimes you simply need to count on the help of a higher power. And with that, Silva sings a song that she says makes her feel optimistic.
Eu peço perdão, Senhor, mais uma vez. Eu sei que errei, mas vou recomeçar.
It's about getting a helping hand from God. Give me your hand, she sings, so I can feel happy. Juan Ferrero, NPR News.
WILL programs are made possible by Amber Glenn Alzheimer's Special Care Center in Urbana. Amber Glenn offers programs designed to support residents' health and independence and to help them feel secure in their environment.